practice today. Let's go.
Oh, that's it.
Say people.
And we welcome you to another edition of Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Yeah, the rains came late in the afternoon to look at MetLife Stadium, and that's why we're inside in our studios here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. I'm Bob Papa. Over the next half hour, we'll take a look back at the Giants' loss to the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm joined, as always, by two-time Super Bowl champion Carl Banks. And, Carl, the Giants didn't practice today, day off after the game last night, but a lot of things to work on after week one to week two and now heading into the week three preseason.
Well, that's what the preseason is for, to kind of build up and correct things so that you're ready on day one. But there were a lot of positives as well.
All right, we're going to go over some of that. And what we're also going to do during the course of the show is bring you some coaches tape and look at some plays offensively and defensively from last night's game. But to get things started, we want to take a look at the injury report and players that were injured in the game last night. And obviously, huge concern, David Boss with a sprained knee. Victor Cruz has a contusion of the heel. And Justin Tuck has a hamstring injury. That is the results from last night's game against the Indianapolis Colts. After the game, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin talked about the injuries.
Well, it's the unfortunate part about it is, you know, these things happen. I mean, David Boss, what are we, two plays into the game? You know, Cruz, I had no idea. I saw when he came off the field, but I didn't really know what it was. He had run by everybody for a touchdown, and we didn't get the ball out to him. And that gave us some excitement for later on, you know, thinking what we had, and then he was out of the game. So the injuries are, you know, they're always frustrating. There isn't any question about that, because what we really need to do now is to come back in with a stop reading the clippings, come on back in here and go to work and get better. Over the course of the week. And, of course, when guys are hurt, they can't practice.
And the Giants will be back on the practice field here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center on Tuesday later in the afternoon. And Giants head coach Tom Coughlin will update everybody as far as the injuries and if some of these players might get back on the practice field a little bit later on in the week. Carl, obviously, the injury situation. Let's start with David Boss, which appears to be the most severe of the injuries. Talk about the dynamic of losing your center and what the Giants might have to do.
Well, you want to have that continuity of all things. You want a quarterback and a center to be your constants each week. But now that they don't know if he's going to be back, they'll have to make the adjustment. So as long as the rest of the guys are there, I think they'll make the adjustment. And the beauty is they have utility players along that line.
So the Giants and Tom Coughlin wouldn't necessarily name who his starting center is going to be for Thursday night's game against the Jets. They've got a full week of practice. Jim Cordell did a nice job filling in for David Boss. What about Justin Tuck? Here's a guy that was very active in his first game, but he leaves the game because of a hamstring. Would you be concerned if you're the Giants after the injuries he's dealt with the last 2 years?
I would say not at this moment. A back and a hamstring, they're kind of related to each other. One gets stiff, but I think as it gets closer to opening day, if it's still nagging him, then you start to have a bit of concern.
And you see Justin Tuck knocking down a pass last night, and he was very active in the game for the Giants. All right, what we're going to show you now are a list of Giants players that did not participate in the game. These are guys that were hurt going in. And, Carl, you take a look at some of the players on this list, whether it's Jarrell Jernigan, you know Antrell Roll, Corey Webster. They're going to be on the team. Terrell Thomas, they're still holding him back. Jason Pierre-Paul, Marcus Kuhn, Henry Hynoski. But some of the other players on this list are guys that are fighting for an opportunity to make this team. Can't make the club in the tub. They got to get healthy
right.
Fast.
You are so right. Guy like Darrell Scott has to get on the field. He missed all last year. He's got to get back.
Yeah, and so it's really interesting when you take a look at that dynamic and you know, guys that are battling because you're wasting opportunities. Because in the third preseason game, the starters are going to play appreciably more. You may be back and not get an opportunity.
Yeah, the ship is about to sail, and those guys that don't get on it won't be there.
All right, when we come back here on the program, we'll hear more from Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. Eli Manning talks about having Akeem Nicks back, all that and much, much more as we continue with Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess here on MSG+. We are back on Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess here on MSG Plus. Well, the New York Giants came up short in their game against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday night at MetLife Stadium. After the game, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin assessed his team's performance.
Disappointed tonight. Didn't make any plays. Might have made one or two, but not certainly nowhere near enough. You know, we had many opportunities and then didn't come away with anything. I thought we had two interceptions there on two touchdowns of theirs. And we were down in scoring territory a bunch of times and didn't come away with touchdowns. So that continues to be an area of concern for us all.
In his conference call with the media about 2 hours ago, he talked about 10 penalties, and he said, with all due respect to the Colts, there were a lot of plays that we didn't make as a team. Carl, let's focus on the offense a little bit and their inability to get the ball in the end zone and really keep and sustain drives. A lot of field goals already in preseason.
Yeah, and when you look at those failed attempts, especially the short yardage stuff, you'll start to see a lot of missed assignments. And when you get into short yardage, you've got the first thing you do is get your pre-snap read so that you don't have any no-hitters along that line.
Yeah, there was some pressure on the quarterback. This is the interception. Looked like miscommunication with Akeem Nix.
Yeah, well, both receivers were basically in the same spot, and the defensive back had a real easy read.
Again, Manning gets some pressure and not able to complete the deep out. But the good news for the Giants, Akeem Nix back in the lineup last night, and Eli Manning happy to have number 88 out and running routes.
You know, I thought Akeem did some good things and, you know, had two catches, had a little scramble drill, got open, had a slant for a big play. So, you know, those are two, you know, obviously two plays. But, also threw one time at the interception, just a bad throw on me. So, you know, we'll go back and look at the film and see how everything was doing. But, you know, it's good to get him back out there, get that game experience and knowing we got two more games and a few more weeks of practice and keep improving.
Carl, the Giants were 0-for-4 in the red zone, or the green zone, as Tom Coughlin likes to call it. What are some of the things that you notice about this team's inability to punch it in when they're in tight?
Well, it's execution. I mean, everyone, when you get that close to scoring, everyone has to raise their level of concentration that much more because can't afford to have those missed opportunities.
And running the football in the red zone is really the key. You see the Giants not able to convert on a short yardage situation.
Well, you got to get your blocks. You can't have no-hitters.
Well, the Giants are going to have to get that kind of squared up as they get closer to the regular season because field goals are not going to win it for you in the NFL. Let's talk about the other side of the ball. Andrew Luck was able to pick apart the Giants secondary with some quick passes. What were some of the things that you noticed in the game?
Well, the things that I did notice were very correctable. You had defensive backs in good position. A couple of times, Jerron Hosley just didn't play his man in the ball correctly, but was in the right position.
Yeah, I mean, and then you got the Aaron Ross play where, I mean, it's so underthrown, and he creates a touchdown. And he said to me after the game, you know, Reggie Wayne said, thanks. I can't believe that happened. Easiest touchdown of his career.
Yeah, he could have fair caught that one.
How much of it is a factor of not game planning either for an opponent?
Well, that's what this preseason is about now, finding out the guys that can play the technique without having to have a scheme or a game plan. And you saw guys in position, so that's encouraging. But executing the play, finishing the play, is what Coach Coughlin wants.
Speaking of being in position, Aaron Ross was, as we showed you on that last play, but it resulted in a touchdown. After the game, he addressed it.
I definitely knew it was a pick. I seen it leave his hand. And then as soon as I looked up, the lights just took the ball away. I couldn't see it anymore, and that's what kind of made me fall. And as soon as I fell back, it hit my hands, and I kind of – it shocked me. So it just popped up and turned around. Reggie was catching the ball. One of those plays you can't get back.
All right, you can laugh about it, and the good news about it is it's in the preseason. If it was in a regular season game, Aaron Ross – is on the blooper reels for a long time.
Well, absolutely, and it'll be one he couldn't live with considering the Giants lost the game, too.
All right, each and every show, we like to pose a question to you, the Giants fans, via Twitter, and here is the question for today. It comes from at Tariq Wilson. Did you see any progress in the Giants' run defense?
Very little. You saw some plays, and I guess that you can call that progress, but they gave up way too many yards.
Got to look at a little bit of the Giants and them able to run the football, which was an effective component of their game with David Wilson getting a couple of good runs. But and, you know, in the run defensive category as well, as Giants head coach Tom Coughlin pointed out during his conference call with the media today, they did hold the Colts to seven negative runs during the game.
Well, that's the good news. When they ran some stunts and guys were executing those, but consistency is the key. You've got to be able to do it to discourage teams from even attempting to run on you.
All right, a lot more to come here on the program. When we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to dial into coach's tape, and we're going to show you a couple plays from the game from a couple of different angles, and Carl's going to kind of talk you through what transpired. We'll take a look at some plays on defense as well on offense as we continue with Giants training camp live, fueled by Hess here on MSG+. Live look at MetLife Stadium on this rainy Monday as we welcome you back to Giants training camp live, fueled by Hess. Well, the Giants coming off last night's loss to the Indianapolis Colts. Carl, obviously the coaches spent all day evaluating the coaches' tape. Fans like to look at it. Media like to look at it. But unless you know the calls, sometimes it's hard to ascertain exactly what the responsibilities are, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. But then you can look at some guys that don't make blocks or don't make tackles. And you can point out a missed tackle or a missed assignment, but until you know exactly the defense, it's pretty hard for a layperson to really know.
All right, but you do look for effort. That shows up on coach's tape. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to cue up some plays from the game on Sunday night. We're going to start with the Aaron Ross interception. Now, forget about, obviously, the ball getting tipped in the air. Let's talk about some specifics here, Carl.
Well, you got Aaron Ross here. The quarterback's under pressure, so he has to throw it out of a barrel, and that's why the ball was thrown short. And when we go back to it, you'll see Phillip Rivers here. Now, this is what a linebacker should do on a back. Throw him out of the way and knock him down. That's Keith Rivers there on the pressure.
And good coverage by Aaron Ross that we saw in the first look as well.
Yeah, everything was executed, and that's when your linebackers, your defensive line, and your defensive backs are all on the same page.
All right, now what we're going to do is zero in on a running play, and nice work by Jaquan Williams working against Donald Brown.
Yeah, now Jaquan Williams, you'll see he sees the lead. He knows what gap he's supposed to be in. He hits the gap with quickness, takes on the block, doesn't give up on the block. That's the effort you need from a linebacker, getting in there, spinning off. Now look at the edge here with Mathias Kiwanuka. Same thing. Takes tight end, throws him in the hole, makes the play.
Is that what they're talking about physicality?
That's physicality.
Being more physical as a defense?
It absolutely is, because you're not giving up and accepting the fact that a blocker is on you. You're freeing yourself and making a play.
All right. We saw Keith Rivers get pressure on the quarterback on the Aaron Ross play. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a look again at the Giants stopping the run, and we're going to first focus on Keith Rivers here.
Now, here's Keith Rivers here. He's in the bubble. That's what they call when he's on an unblocked. Takes on the fullback there, and then he causes the ball to cut back. But when you look in the middle of that play, Sean Rogers, the guy who just can't be blocked, he swims, gets back in the hole, throws his body, and causes a logjam.
That's pretty amazing that a guy upwards of 350 pounds with a guy right in front of him, Sean Rogers didn't get touched.
He didn't get touched. He showed a little dexterity there, but then he clogged it up, threw his body in the hole.
Isn't that sort of the game behind the game, though, with what we saw with Keith Rivers on that play? Sometimes the stats aren't going to show you making a tackle, but it's that kind of execution that they're looking for, isn't it?
Well, right shoulder, wrong shoulder. Keith Rivers went in there, took the fullback on, forced the ball back inside.
All right, the Giants forced a turnover in the game as Jayron Hosley got an interception of Matt Hasselbeck. And first, Carl, we're going to take a look at Hosley in coverage.
Yeah, they're in a two-shell here. So Hosley's out there on the number two receiver. His job is to reroute the receiver and then fall back in. And he was able to make the play. But more impressive than that is his open field running skills.
That's one of the reasons why he's in line to be the punt return. Now we're going to show Marvin Austin here.
That's why that ball was thrown.
Patterson
splits the double team, gets right into the quarterback's face, forces a bad throw.
Yeah, and Patterson was pretty active in the game as well.
Well, that's what you want from those guys up front, and that's an encouraging sign. Your defensive front is getting pressure.
All right, what about the overall play of the linebackers? That is the most scrutinized position on this defense for 2013.
Well, we just showed you three really good plays from the linebackers, but consistency is the key because they can have three plays and not show up for many more. So they've got to develop consistency, or as you know, my old coach used to say, that's one in a row. So guys got to build on that so that it becomes a consistent theme in teams. Like I said, you've got to discourage teams from running certain types of plays.
All right, here's a look at the linebackers. And it still remains quite a muddled picture, Carl, as far as who's going to actually start on opening day against the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, it is. And I think they're going to be in a lot of different packages depending on personnel. One thing you can count on is Jaquan Williams being in there on passing downs and possibly Keith Rivers. The rest of it, first and second down, it's probably going to come down to which middle linebacker plays better, Herzlick or Connor.
Conversely, the defensive tackles. We showed some plays from Rodgers. Patterson was very active. Marvin Austin was active in the game last night. Jenkins and Linval Joseph, quality players. Marcus Coon's not even playing yet. This is going to be a tough decision for them to figure out which guys they're going to keep.
It's a great problem to have. When you have that many guys playing well, you want that as a defensive line coach.
What have you seen good performances so far in the preseason from this group overall?
Absolutely. I think when you look at Sean Rogers, he shows up in tape every single week. Patterson as well.
Yeah, and that's going to be one of the tough decisions. And those guys performing are going to go a long way in determining the quality of the linebacker play as far as what those guys should be able to do.
Well, if you don't ask them to do more than what's expected and they can just do their jobs, you'll see a consistent group.
All right, we've still got a lot more to come here on the program. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the Giants' running plays in the game against the Indianapolis Colts, why they were able to execute and rip off some big runs, and then some areas in which the Giants have faltered in some short yardage situations. Carl goes back to the coach's tape as we continue here with Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess on MSG+. Welcome back to Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess here on MSG+. If you are going to the game on Saturday night when the Giants host the Jets, to enhance security throughout NFL stadiums, the Giants, in conjunction with all the teams in the National Football League, have a new bag policy. Please bring a clear plastic bag no bigger than 12 inches by 6 inches by 12 inches or a small purse or handbag that cannot exceed 6.5 inches. Binocular bags, camera bags will not be allowed into the stadium. We invite you to go to Giants.com for all the details on the new stadium security policies, not only at MetLife Stadium, but throughout the National Football League. All right, Carl, we're going to go to the coach's tape and zero in on the Giants' run game and David Wilson in the first quarter ripping off a big run.
Yeah, and it's all about the execution on this play. When you look at the offensive line, you take a look at the line, tight end sealing out, and David Wilson makes two cuts and he's in the open.
All right, and Will Beatty also with a nice double block here.
Yeah, you got Will Beatty, Bear Pascal, both sealing their lanes off. And you watch Wilson here. He sets up the second block, and he hits the juices.
And how important is that, you know, Beatty getting that combo block there? Because I don't think people realize there's a lot of plays that are designed where the offensive lineman's supposed to get not one but two people for a play to work.
And when it works to perfection because David Wilson set up that second block that enabled Beatty's caboose to get in the way.
All right. Now, obviously, the Giants with the short yardage situation, not able to execute as consistently. We're going to take a look at a short yardage run here where neither tight end does much blocking.
Yeah, and again, it talks about, you talk about recognition. Here you see Robinson hits no one. That's a no-hitter, and it just causes the entire play to break down. And then when you look at Myers on the outside of that, he didn't sustain his block either. So you've got to get a pre-snap read. You take a look. Guys are not sustaining blocks, and one guy completely misses one.
Yeah, and obviously the original missed block forces Brown to take it wide. Then the second block missed has Brown tackled for
right,
a loss.
Because the play went wide, he couldn't sustain it because he thinks the ball is going to run inside of him. So everything widens out, he didn't sustain. play recognition, you've got to know where the guys are you're going to block.
All right, we're going to take a look at a play in the red zone as well. Eli Manning trying to get on the same page with his tight end, Brandon Myers. Remember, Victor Cruz isn't in the game at this point, but let's talk about this one. Just it seemed like they're not on the same page.
Yeah, this play was designed to go between the safety and the linebacker. It's there, but Myers drifted. You've got to sit there in the spot, and Eli's going to throw it right to that spot.
Take another look at it again, and this is just getting familiar with what the offense calls for.
Yeah, if
it?
He just turns around and not drift, the ball will be there.
So if you're a Giant fan, are you concerned about something like that?
Correctable. That's correctable. It's saying they're going to say, hey, when you get to your spot, turn, the ball will be there. Don't drift because it's set up to give maximum distance between both defenders.
You know, and it's interesting for new players that come into this system because, you know, for Brandon Myers, he was with Oakland, different head coaches, different offensive systems, yep. Constantly changing. Now he's coming into a place where it's kind of set in stone how they do things.
Yeah, timing is paramount in this offense. And when you're in the red area, your quarterback wants to get the ball out of his hands on timing. So you can't drift because it's not Jason Campbell back there holding the ball. That ball comes out on timing.
All right, so one of the areas in which the Giants have not been overly effective, but with David Wilson's speed, screen passes could be a big part of this offense. They executed one with Michael Cox in the game.
Well, yeah, screen pass, getting the ball into the running back's hand in the open field is, you can see what happens when you get these guys in space, and that's what's going to be a big asset for this offense.
Yeah, in fact, we'll take a look at the play on the offensive line. You have to sell it, don't you?
Yeah, and you can look at all three offensive linemen. You can see 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Release, and that's what the timing on the screen pass is about.
And Michael Cox is so quick, as we saw in that play. He actually outran one of his blockers, one of his offensive linemen.
Yeah, he could have set one more block up, and he probably runs to the end zone.
All right, so when you look at this team, and they go into the third preseason game, with the amount of injuries that they have, we're not sure who's going to practice this week of some of the regular guys with the injuries that they had going into the game and then the guys that got hurt. How concerned are the coaching staff right now? This is supposed to be the final dress rehearsal, but if you only have 70% of your guys, is that a big worry?
Well, it is, and because it impacts how your final roster is going to look. You need to know if some guys are going to be back sooner than later because you may have to keep a guy that you weren't planning on keeping because one of your starters are out.
And this is kind of a last opportunity for some guys that are going to play in the second half. Let's talk about the quarterback for a second. David Carr played. He will not play this coming week, barring any injuries. And it's going to be Curtis Painter's turn. This has turned out to be a little closer race than I think people thought.
Well, absolutely. I think Painter was here for a reason to bring competition to that backup spot. And depending on how he plays, he could end up on the roster.
And then Ryan Nassib, I mean, you see at times things work for him, but it's still going quickly for him.
Well, that's a rookie quarterback in the NFL. He hadn't even seen anything yet. They haven't shown some in-game blitz looks. So it's going to be a process with him. You know he's going to be on the roster, though.
All right. Well, the Giants will be back at work on Tuesday here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Now, normally the Giants have been practicing at 1:30, but if you're planning on coming out to Giants training camp, the Giants will practice on Tuesday at 3 p.m., For further details, go to Giants.com. And make sure you join us tomorrow night right here on MSG Plus at 6 p.m. We'll bring you another edition of Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess. For Carl and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Good night, everybody.